Radix Copycast. I'm Emily King, Radix's marketing executive, and today I am joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, Radix's managing director.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to be looking at a pressing issue surrounding copywriting for new styles of content delivery. We'll be discussing how these emerging styles affect the way you work with copywriters and the tools and processes you'll need to produce stunning combinations of copy and design. But before we get started, I just want to let you all know that on the 3rd of March 2015, we'll be hosting a Twitter chat from 4 to 5pm GMT under hashtag B2B Copy Chat. There are more details on our blog at radix-communications.com/blog, but we hope that you'll join us. Hint, it is all about B2B copywriting, so if you're listening to this, I'm hoping that you'll also find that incredibly relevant. Just what is this new content delivery trend, and how is it affecting the ability of copywriters to meet the demands for its new flavour of content? Fiona?
Well, those are quite big questions about try and answer. So I don't think it's one trend that we're seeing, but it's sort of a culmination of lots of trends that people have been talking about over the past couple of years, which have been kind of, for us as copywriters, in the realm of the theoretical. But are now we're actually starting to feel the effects of them. And it feels pretty big, and it feels like we're on the cusp of something really quite new and exciting. And what it all comes down to really is, I guess the main trend is towards delivering content to the right person at the right time, on the right device, and the right relevant content that's personalised for them. So, you know, this has been done over the past couple of years, but personalisation has been kind of very, like, a thin veneer on top. So it's maybe had, it's maybe emails with people's name on them, or it's maybe websites serving up content based on what the person's done previously, but not necessarily completely personalised to that individual. So what we're seeing now, I think, is much more of a focus towards getting really dynamic, personalised content. And there's, you know, there's people talking about how the website itself is dead, and that now content needs to go where the audience is. And, you know, the audience might be on Facebook, or they might be on Twitter, or they might be in a forum, or they might be wherever. They might be looking on their laptop, they might be looking on a smartphone, they might be looking on a tablet. And so how do you get content out to those people so they see it on the platforms where they congregate, you know, at a time and a place that's relevant for them? That's kind of what we've been hearing about the last couple of years. We've never really seen it affect our work so far as copywriters. We've still been writing the same sort of formats as we've always been writing, you know, your white papers, your blogs, your website pages. But what I think now is starting to change is that clients are asking us not to write these sort of big monolithic content pieces, but to write in a much more chunky format, so that you can take chunks of copy and, you know, it might be pushed out to here, or it might be pushed out to here, or it might be pushed out to here. So I think this in itself is a big change.
So Fiona, what formats have perhaps been developed at the moment? Have we only seen a few? What have we experienced here at Radix so far?
Yeah, so far we've only just, I think, starting to see the tip of the iceberg. So we're starting to see it in web copy projects that come through, whereas in previous times, a web copy project would be, okay, there is a website, there are 30 pages, and each page needs to have 200 to 250 words of copy about this particular topic. We're seeing that change quite a lot now. There's a new kind of style of website design and layout emerging, which is very much more user-driven. So it's not that you're asking a user to go to one page and read through 250 words of copy. It's very much broken up into much smaller chunks, and the user can find their own way through the website and select which bits they want to read about. So instead of writing, say, 30 pages of 250 words, you're writing sort of hundreds and hundreds of little bits of chunks of copy that need to form a coherent journey, I suppose, for the user, but that aren't written in a kind of linear way.
It almost feels to me like somebody who's spent their career so far writing choose your own adventure stories is going to be well placed to help write this new format.
That's what it really makes me think of. And I think we talked on the last podcast about the way content format's going to be less linear. I thought that they might be less linear just because that's a kind of novel way of doing things. But actually, I think it's going to come down to this kind of new way of content delivery and letting the user choose their own journey and choose their own information that they want to read about. So it's really interesting from that point of view. I mean, it's a whole new mindset for us as copywriters and the way we approach a web copy project. So that's one example that we've seen. And I think the other one is we're seeing a lot more social media native content. And I think when we did our, we published our slide share of the types of project we worked on last year, and it turned out that we'd been working on a lot of social media native.
This is a new slide share, I might add, which is also on the blog. We'll link to it in the blog post for this, just so you can have a peek. But yes.
Yeah, and that's a trend I hadn't really noticed at the time last year, but which emerged from when we looked at our data, is social media used to be, you know, you'd put something on Twitter and it would link through to something on your website. And now it seems to be much more that you are pushing out content that sits on the social media platform and people read it and consume it and share it from there. So those are two manifestations of the new trend that we've seen so far.
I have to admit, certainly with the having a non-linear journey for a brand's website, and the fact that obviously it's up to the individual, the journey that they take, it feels like it feeds into a bit with the sort of personalization of content as well, because it's being determined by the individual and their interests as to what they basically see and when they see it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of determined on the fly. And, you know, there's a whole lot of thinking going on around this at the moment. And there's a conference coming up next month in San Francisco, the Intelligent Content Conference, which is all about this and, you know, what they're calling fluid content or dynamic content. So depending on what the user is doing at any given moment, you're serving up the appropriate piece of content for them at that time. And so, I mean, I think we'll go on to talk about what problems or issues or challenges this causes for us as copywriters. But it is really, I think, going to force us to have a complete mindset shift in the way we approach copy projects.
But also, this is, you know, this is all sounding pretty fantastic, but it is actually an issue because it does present new challenges. But what kind of challenges does it present for writers and their collaborators?
Well, I think it presents all sorts of challenges and quite interesting and exciting ones. So first of all, as a writer, you're probably used to creating an argument, especially if you're a long-form writer. You're used to writing things like ebooks or white papers or blog posts, where over the course of sort of 800 to 2,500 words, you develop an argument. Well, it seems like in the future, nobody's going to be consuming content that way. So you won't be developing an argument over 1,000 or so words. You need to make sure that every piece of copy that you write, or every paragraph or every chunk, it works as a standalone piece. So maybe your user will kind of thread them all together to create this kind of linear narrative that you maybe had in your head, but maybe they won't. Maybe they'll take a different route through your content. So it's getting out of that very linear mindset and getting into a whole new mindset where you're creating, I don't know, chunks of copy that your eventual reader will thread together in their own way. So that's a really interesting challenge, especially for long-form writers. Another one is, and one we've talked about before, is writing tools.
Yeah.
I think we did a whole podcast before.
Oh,
about,
yes, we did last year. Now, things haven't changed much since then.
Well, I mean, things have changed in terms of what we've been talking about.
So the tools available.
Yeah, the tools have not changed as far as I can tell. And so, you know, if you're a copywriter, you're probably using Microsoft Word or another word processing package that's very similar to Microsoft Word. And it's just becoming less and less relevant for the kinds of project that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, Microsoft Word, it still shows you an A4 page and, you know, you start writing at the top and keep on writing, and there's not really any kind of function for, once you've written chunks, to move them around on the page. And it's just becoming increasingly less useful for the types of work that we're doing.
Sometimes it feels like it's just a shame that open software platforms like Twine, which are technically used to make non-linear text-based video games, Twine in itself doesn't actually have things like spell checker and stuff.
Yeah.
And even though it's easy to get hold of, it wouldn't have the tools necessary within of itself to help writers and collaborators comment and receive feedback and make changes and see where changes have been made. But it has all that nice drag and drop nature that you want, and shows you how to, and allows you to link up things in a way to show where the path might take people.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of, there are lots of nice tools out there that are emerging, but they do seem to be, and there's exactly what you said, it's not just enough for you as the writer to use it. You know, your client or whoever you're working with has to be able to use it too, and there has to be the ability to comment and collaborate. And it also seems that the tools that are out there are really nice for a single type of format.
So if you're in charge of delivering a website and you don't have to answer to anyone, it's absolutely fine. There's loads of wonderful things you could work with. You could even do it in something, I don't know, like Evernote or something, if you really wanted to. Or, you know, just put together a bunch of PowerPoints with hyperlinks and copy the text in and make the relevant links on the site. But as soon as other people are involved, you can't use most of these tools.
It has to be something that everybody knows, and it has to be something that lets you collaborate. I think that's an issue.
There are obviously platforms like Balsamiq, which answer part of the issue, but they were developed originally for more sort of standard website design and apps, and I'm not sure if it's evolved quickly enough to deal with things as they're sort of going now, with these sort of like little chunks of text appearing in various points of a user's journey through still what is a website, but doesn't look anything like a website as we've previously known it.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, it's kind of like you've still got the issue of, with Balsamiq, it's a bit hard to track what's happening where in terms of who's given feedback and what the feedback was and if changes have been made.
Yeah, and I think, as I said a minute ago, we're just at the start of this whole new revolution in the way content's delivered. And so, as you say, I mean, even tools that are quite nice for certain applications today, things are moving so quickly that they soon kind of fall out of, you know, being current for the type of project that we might be working on. So I think there's a huge gap in the market for a Microsoft Word killer.
Or some kind of, you know, add-on to Microsoft
Word. Microsoft themselves might want to have a think about this, because I think I'm one of the few people in the world who's actually a fan of Microsoft and Word. So, you know, it'd be nice if, you know, to see some of this functionality actually brought into Word rather than have to go somewhere else and look for a different tool to use.
Which then it becomes an issue trying to get collaborators to actually buy into so that you can actually use it together.
Exactly, yes, yeah. So there'd be a huge learning curve for everybody there, basically.
So if you're obviously running a copywriting business like we are, what changes do we need to make to our practices when we've got clients coming to us with these kinds of projects?
And that's a really interesting point, and one that I've really only just started thinking about, but has sort of just started to raise its head as a bit of an issue for us, is that it's changing the way, or it's going to change the way that copywriters charge for their work. You know, in the past, we've had a kind of fixed idea of what a web page is. So, you know, roughly a web page would have been 250 words of copy. And we would have had in our heads a kind of fixed idea of how much time it would take to write one, and therefore how much we would charge to write one. Whereas now, you know, websites are becoming extremely granular, and, you know, not based on pages anymore, as we've said. So kind of that charging model goes out of the window. So we need to find a new charging model. And I think that's only going to become more acute as more content formats go this way. So at the moment we're seeing websites go this way, but I think we're going to start seeing everything go this way. So we're going to have to think of a whole new kind of way of pricing and charging our clients for the copy that we write.
So after all that, are there any other issues that copywriters and other stakeholders might need to consider?
Yeah, one more, I think, and again, this is something that we're only just starting to encounter now, in that a lot of the way this is going requires a much closer bond between copy and design. So they almost become one, and therefore the copywriter needs to actually needs to be there in the room with the designer to work out how this copy is going to look, and, you know, what are the design elements that go with it, and how are they going to work together as a coherent whole, whereas the kind of standard way that a lot of marketers and a lot of agencies work with copywriters is that the copywriter isn't an employee. And so the copywriter is generally an external person, a freelancer, or an agency like ours, and aren't necessarily under the same roof, and aren't sometimes necessarily even anywhere nearby. So there are going to have to be new ways of getting writers and designers together, whether that's physically the writer's going to sit with the designers, or whether we're going to see a huge boom in video conferencing for copywriting agencies and their clients, just so you can get, you know, those two communities together and working together on a project, on every project.
Fiona, with all of what we've been discussing in mind, which kinds of copywriter will be best suited to help brands with these sort of new content formats, and you know, what kind of skills will help them the most?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, because previously, we've kind of identified there are seven different types of B2B copywriter. all the way from kind of technical writer through SEO writer up to sort of creative concept type writer to more of an explainer type long form copywriter. And I don't know that any of them particularly fit the bill for this new type of content delivery, because you are getting into almost a completely new mindset, in that each piece that you're writing, okay, it's a standalone piece, but it is going to be threaded together by your user to form a narrative. And so you need to have a writer who can think and write in a non-linear way. And it's almost like we said earlier, it's like a type of writer who would have the type of skills to write something like a Choose Your Own Adventure book, or actually to write. It's like the difference between writing, you know, an old style writer is like a film writer, and there's a script, and the script starts at the beginning and goes to the end. And the new type of writer is like a video game writer, I think, where there is a story, but it's very much directed by the user. And so the whole thing is non-linear, but still needs to hang together in different ways. So I don't know at this point, you know, what type of writer is best suited to this. And I think it's going to be a learning curve for everybody. A really exciting one, actually. I'm really, really looking forward to a lot of these things that I think are coming up. I don't know at this point, but yeah, interesting, very interesting question.
If, you know, if anyone's interested in teaching themselves how to write in a non-linear way, maybe you should have a go with something like Twine.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily for a client project, but just in your own time, you know, you can search, you know, for Twine Game Maker, you'll be able to get a download of it and just have a feel of it to give yourself an idea of how what you do and how you write things could perhaps lead to a non-linear narrative.
Yeah, definitely. And it's free, isn't it? So, yeah. So anybody can play about with it. So yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
Well, that's all we've got time for in this episode of the Radix Copycast. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com. We can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights. And don't forget about hashtag B2B Copy Chat from 4 to 5 p.m. on March 3rd, 2015.
We will see you then.